WKJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. High school volleyball postseason play continued last night. 1A and 2A regional action. In Class 1A regional quarterfinal round play, it was Adair Casey beating Earlham 3-1. East Union topping Orient Maxburg 3-0. Bedford was a 3-1 winner over Corning. Glidden Ralston beat Peyton Sherdan 3-0. It was Guthrie Center over Coon Rapids Bayard 3-0. Woodbine topping West Harrison 3-1. Stanton beat Fremont Mills 3-0. Also Arweva, a 3-sweep over Whiting. In Class 2A regional semis last night, it was Kemper Catholic topping Northwest Webster 3-0. St. Albert beat Missouri Valley in 3 straight. Nottoway Valley had to go the distance to beat Van Meter 3-2. It was 15-13 in that final deciding game. Griswold swept 3 from East Mills last night. IKM Manning a 3-1 winner over Prairie Valley. Trainer was a 3-1 winner last night over Audubon, while Underwood defeated Tri-Center 3-0. Those winners all move on in 1A and 2A regional volleyball play. Well, the high school football playoff season gets underway tonight with first round action in all classes. We'll have live extended coverage for tonight's first round of high school football playoff action here tonight on AM 1220, FM 101, and on the web at KJAN.com. Now, our evening begins early tonight with our special playoff edition of Who's Gonna Win. That starts at 5 o'clock this evening, a little earlier start time. Now, our pregame coverage follows at 5:30 tonight. Brett Johnson will be hosting from the studio. He'll get you up to speed on a number of local first-round matchups tonight, which will feature interviews with some of the area coaches and a complete lineup and rundown of this evening's games. Now, kickoff of our broadcast game is set for 7 o'clock tonight, as Chris and I will be in Exira this evening, as Exira EHK will host Lennox. Brett will be along again at halftime with live updates direct from other local games. And after our game finishes up tonight, Brett will then continue with our post-game coverage, which will move on until 11 p.m. It'll feature updates from reporters that we have out at several of the games and also interviews with area coaches after their games conclude tonight. Again, our broadcast game this evening, Exira EHK facing off against Lennox. The Spartans undefeated in the regular season as they ran through district play this year. Lennox is the 4 seed coming out of their district, and they play in Exira tonight. Now, other games we'll be kind of keeping an eye on tonight in a lot of different ways will include 8-man games like Cam at Glidden-Ralston, Sydney hosting Woodbine, Coon Rapids Bayard at Fremont Mills, and Adair Casey at home against Wayne. Class A games we'll be watching tonight include Griswold hosting Woodward Academy, AHST traveling to Madrid, Audubon is at Logan Magnolia, and Underwood at Woodward Granger. In Class 1A, it's Tri-Center hosting Ogden, St. Albert at home against Pella Christian, Panorama visiting Van Meter, and West Central Valley of Stewart at Mount Air. Also in Class 2A, Red Oak at West Marshall and Kemper Catholic hosting Gilbert. And in 3A tonight, Harlan is hosting Carroll. Lewis Central goes to Lamar's. Creston is at Bishop Heelan Catholic, while ADM will welcome Spencer to Adel tonight. All that action tonight, we'll keep tabs on it for you this evening with our extended coverage this evening of the playoffs. All those games get underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Iowa's lost starting offensive lineman Brandon Sheriff and Andrew Denal to season-ending injuries. Hawkeye coach Kirk Ferentz says Sheriff, a sophomore left tackle, broke a bone in his leg during Saturday night's 38-14 loss to Penn State. Denal, a sophomore right guard, hurt his right knee in the first half against the Nittany Lions. Junior Nolan McMillan will move into Sheriff's starting spot at tackle for this weekend's game between the Hawkeyes and Northwestern. Redshirt freshman Austin Blythe will likely replace Denal at guard. Now, the loss of Sheriff and Denal is a blow to an offense that scored just 26 points in the past 2 weeks. Nearly every team in the country knows what it has and what it doesn't by now. Iowa State has become the team without a quarterback. Issues at the game's most important position are threatening to derail Iowa State's once promising season. The Cyclones have dropped 3 of their last 4 games, largely because of the league's worst passing attack. It's gotten so bad that Coach Paul Rhodes has made the starting job for Saturday's home game against Baylor a 3-man race. Steele Jantz, Jared Barnett, and untested freshman Sam Richardson will all compete this week for the right to start against the Bears. Also in college football news, quarterback Sean Mannion will start for number 7 Oregon State against Washington Saturday, less than 3 weeks after undergoing a surgical procedure on his left knee. Mannion missed 2 games after he was hurt in an October 6th victory over Washington State in Seattle. Cody Vaz started in Mannion's place, and Oregon State has remained undefeated, rising to 6-0 overall, 4-0 in the Pac-12. Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly says quarterback Everett Golson is 100% and will start against 8th-ranked Oklahoma Saturday in Norman. Kelly says Golson did well during a full workout after sitting out last week's win over BYU while recovering from a concussion. Central Florida will be eligible to compete for both the Conference USA Championship and a bowl game this season. Knights coach George O'Leary says the NCAA has scheduled the school's appeal hearing of a one-year postseason ban for late January. UCF's football team is 5-2 with a 3-0 record in conference play. If the school loses its appeal, the football ban would be served in 2013 when the Knights enter the Big East. The ban was the only penalty UCF challenged as part of sanctions levied in July for major recruiting violations in football and basketball. Central Florida also received a one-year postseason ban in basketball, a $50,000 fine, 5 years probation, reduction of basketball scholarships, and limits on football recruiting. On to baseball now, where Kyle Loesch got to bed at 5:30 a.m. after the St. Louis Cardinals' flight from a most unpleasant end to the National League Championship Series against the San Francisco Giants. Fatigue only added to the aftershock of a spectacular nosedive as players cleaned out their lockers Tuesday. It might be the final time for Loesch, who confessed to being a bit delirious from lack of sleep while discussing his future. Coming off his best season, the 16-game winner heads into free agency for the second time. There have been no contract conversations with the Cardinals, who might not be able to fit him into the budget. Nearly everyone else will return next year for another try. They'll need a while to purge the awful taste of blowing a 3-1 series lead to the Giants and missing a chance to defend their World Series title. Ozzie Guillen's mouth got him in trouble 7 months ago. The Florida Marlins' record got him fired. Guillen has been let go after just one season with the team. The Marlins went 69-93 during a campaign in which Guillen praised Fidel Castro, another factor in his dismissal. Team president of baseball operations Larry Beinfest said the positive comments about Castro didn't help the team or Guillen. Miami's last-place finish in the National League East came after the team signed free agent All-Stars Jose Reyes, Mark Burley, and Heath Bell to contracts worth a combined $191 million. The Fish still owe Guillen $7.5 million for 3 years remaining on his contract. Miami's next manager will be the fifth for owner Jeffrey Loria since early 2010. Boston Red Sox have introduced John Farrell as their new manager. He appeared at a news conference Tuesday with club officials just 2 days after the team announced it had reached an agreement with the Blue Jays to allow him to leave with 1 year left on his 3-year contract as the manager. Farrell said he's familiar with some players and members of the front office from his experience with the team, but said he won't take for granted his relationship with the players. Well, the Giants and the Tigers have made their final preparations before squaring off in Game 1 of the World Series tonight. Both clubs worked out Tuesday in San Francisco, where the field was in good shape following a heavy rainstorm that began just before the Giants completed their rout of the Cardinals in Game 7 of the NLCS the previous night. Detroit has been off since completing a 4-game ALCS sweep of the Yankees Thursday. Tigers manager Jim Leland says he's kept the team busy during the long layoff after sensing his 2006 World Series team got rusty while waiting for the NLCS to be completed. Three times in the past, the World Series has matched a team that went to Game 7 in the LCS against a club that swept its series. In all three instances, the team coming off a Game 7 win breezed to the championship. Now, the home team plans to send left-hander Barry Zito to the mound to face Tigers ace Justin Verlander in Game 1 of the best-of-seven showdown tonight. Doug Fister will start Game 2 for Detroit against Madison Bumgarner. San Francisco has home field advantage thanks to the National League's win in this summer's All-Star game. Also in World Series news, Jerry Davis will be the crew chief for the umpires working the Fall Classic and will work behind the plate for Game 1. He'll be joined by Dan Iasonia, Fielding Culbreth, Brian O'North, Brian Gorman, and Joe West. The grounds crew at AT&T Park worked until midnight last night and began at 8 this morning to get the field in shape after a heavy downpour. The puddles are now long gone and the infield dirt is now fresh and dry. In racing news, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been cleared for this weekend's race at Martinsville Speedway after missing the last 2 weeks to recover from a pair of concussions. NASCAR's most popular driver was examined by neurosurgeon Dr. Jerry Petty one day after he ran 123 laps at Half Mile Gresham Motorsports Park in Jefferson, Georgia. Petty monitored Earnhardt during Monday's test. Petty sidelined Earnhardt after the driver went to see him, complaining of a lingering headache after a 25-car accident on the last lap of the October 7th race at Talladega. Petty diagnosed Earnhardt with a concussion and said he also suffered one in an August 29th crash during a tire test at Kansas that went untreated. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.